This is Marketplace. I'm Adrienne Hill. When it comes to moving goods from Asia, like smartphones and cars, West Coast ports have an advantage over East Coast ports. That's because mega-sized ships can't make it through the Panama Canal, which links the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans. But the Panama Canal is expanding, and when it opens to these mega ships, it could have profound consequences for the U.S. economy. Lauren Madelon of Marfa Public Radio reports from Panama.
Six hours, Roger. Locking up with you.
Tug Captain Luis Estribi is guiding a ship from China through a lock on its way to New Orleans. The ship is known as a Panamax, that is, the maximum size that can pass through this canal. But today, Panamax is passé.
Time now is money, and a lot of money.
Now it's all about post-Panamax, vessels with up to three times the cargo. But they're way too wide for the existing canal. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers says post-Panamax ships now carry 45% of the world's cargo. The Panama Canal needs wider, deeper locks to remain relevant, and construction is underway. But the project has seen multiple delays, legal disputes, and huge cost overruns. Meet Oscar Bassan. He heads business development at the Panama Canal Authority. He says the new locks should open by spring.
The project has been very challenged with the contractors, legal issues, claims, and but we are moving forward.
Which is what tug captain Lou Stabler says is long overdue.
They had to.
Stabler was born in a canal zone that the U.S. ceded to Panama 15 years ago.
It's like being an airline and deciding, well, I don't really want to use jets. I'm going to stay with the props. You're not going to have the customers. You're not going to have the business. You're just going to go belly up.
That soundtrack of trucks and noise is construction on gargantuan new locks at the canal's Atlantic entrance. Work here is being mirrored in the U.S. This is Charleston, South Carolina. Rail already takes post-Panamax cargo from Europe and sends it inland. But right now, the port's only deep enough to take in that cargo at high tide, and that's about to change. From New York, New Jersey to Baltimore, Savannah, and Miami, workers are dredging, raising bridges, and upgrading docks.
Yeah, I think it's very exciting.
That's Jim Newsom, CEO at the Port of Charleston.
We will deepen our harbor from 45 to 52 feet to accommodate this tremendous new trend toward big container ships.
There will be winners and losers, says Noel Moore. He's professor of international business at George Washington University and co-author of The Big Ditch, an economic history of the Panama Canal. Among the winners, U.S. exporters of grain and cotton.
You're talking about a drop in shipping costs equal to about 3% of the market value of the product. That's big.
You know what else he said? That U.S. agribusiness will really benefit.
American cotton and grain that's currently not competitive in Asian markets will become competitive. So for American agriculture, that is a big deal.
But U.S. West Coast ports stand to lose, maybe big time, because it'll be cheaper to ship goods directly from Asia to the East Coast through the canal without stopping on the West Coast. Shipping by water will still take longer than sending cargo cross-country by rail from the West, but the water route will cost less.
6 hours, standby.
So the expansion may threaten some of the 4 million jobs in California, Oregon, and Washington specifically tied to Asian imports. Many of those jobs are in the ports. In Panama, tug captain Estribi is frustrated by the delays, but he's proud of the expansion and the canal's legacy.
And we're still nowadays, we are wondering how these engineers, how they built it. This was amazing how they think in every single detail. Every part of the canal have its own story and good ones.
Estribi and other captains are looking forward to training in the new locks. In Panama, I'm Lauren Madelon for Marketplace.